We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, co-host of Pre-Gaming, Kenny Spence.
What's up, man? I'm coming off that real exciting win last night. I'm still haven't came down yet. Everything's feeling great right now. How you doing, G?
We're doing good. Chat saying the Kenny G show. It absolutely is the Kenny G show. I forgot who invented that, but that was really funny. Shout out to Ryan in chat who pointed this out and help me fix the Twitch stream title, which I fucked up. But if you look at the show today, what's on the docket, it's a mailbag show. We're answering your questions. We reached out to the community, the fan base. We asked you what you want to hear from us, and we're going to give back. We're going to answer your questions. First, though, I wanted to do one current event, and I think it's the most pertinent right now. Orlando Robinson has a hand injury, and he will be out for tomorrow against the New York Knicks, a team that is two games behind them in the standings. A big game, really. I mean, two big games in a row for Miami, and then following that, Milwaukee on Saturday. Kenny, I don't know what this means for them. I don't want to go back to Deadman. I don't want to go back to not having a center. I don't want to go back.
Yeah, Deadman's going to have to play, unfortunately, from what he's looked like. But I will – my hope is that his time off – and not being on that foot, which has been injured all season, kind of gives him a little bit of spark. And I don't think he has to play a ton of minutes tomorrow. I don't actually think he will, because the Knicks are, they, as much as we may hate to say, they are a good team this year, so we may see a lot of Bam. So hopefully Deadman's minutes are still minimal in some way, but it's just unfortunate for Orlando, because I can't say he's like been this amazing player that we wouldn't even expect that, but he has been solid, and things have turned around since they've inserted him instead of Deadman.
I guess you can call up Jovic, although I know he has an injury too. So
yeah, I think he's still injured, I believe.
Yeah, he's injured, so they could go really small with Haywood Highsmith. They could play Deadman. I'm very curious. So the Knicks are missing Mitchell Robinson. He's out. Mm-hmm. For extended time, and their center rotation is you know on the fritz, so that's going to be, and I think that tomorrow is probably not going to be telling what's going to happen the rest of the season, but for sure is going to be kind of interesting to see where Spo goes. I went on Andrew Claudio's podcast, Knicks Film School, just now, part of Blue Wire as well, and we kind of talked about, we previewed Heat Knicks, and he was just telling me how It's just been bad without Mitchell Robinson, and all their lineup data would suggest that their defense falls off a cliff without Mitchell Robinson, and he's kind of told, pretty much expressed that. So hopefully Miami can kind of survive that. I imagine Deadman will play, and then if matchups call for it, they'll play Highsmith. I think we're on the same page on that, right?
I think so, but the thing that does scare me, though, is, and I'm not going to sit here and call him this amazing future all-star player, but the Knicks have been starting Jericho Sims recently, as far as I know, and he's just, again, he has a lot to do as lot of work to do as far as his actual game, but he is just a freak athlete. And so Deadman having to deal with that scares me a little bit, but hopefully things work out tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bam will still play most of the minutes, yeah. And I don't really think that'll be a problem. So we'll just see. You know, I think they'll try a bunch of stuff, as, you know, Spo likes to get weird. And I do think that this is kind of an important thing because, you know, if Deadman, you know, if Deadman's going to play, you know, I and if Orlando's going to miss time, I really do think that a backup center is something that you really have to consider kind of at the deadline. You know, we have Yurt coming back. I just don't know if you can trust these bigs, you know, specifically Yurt and Orlando, you know, in a playoff game. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just don't even waste time trying to get one this season because you're not really competing for a title, at least I don't think. So, you know, maybe it's not that important. But, Kenny, I'm just a little worried about Orlando in a playoff game.
He's still... And he's mobile. He makes some great plays. He had an incredible block yesterday, but he still has his slip ups here and there, and his lack of experience shows at times. And so I do agree that in a playoff series, I don't know if we trust him. But the silver lining to that is, Bam's minutes are going to go up in the playoffs. We may not have to trust Orlando too much.
Can you give us 8?
It's all they really need from him.
Can you give us 8? And maybe they trade for a guy who's at the 4 who could play some 5, so that's not a problem. But, you know, something to monitor and look out for, and I think, you know, kind of we'll get our first taste of what that looks like, you know, tomorrow night against New York in Madison Square Garden. Huge game for Miami. We got you covered pre- and post-game. We got hangover time after the game. We got pre-game, and Frankie's off. It'll be Kenny and I. Kenny G show back-to-back. maybe we'll bring a guest to keep it on stale. We'll see. But moving on to questions, baby. We got mailbag stuff. Exciting, important. Tons to get to. I wish we had imaging. I know that Brian had imaging once upon a time. We don't have it anymore. I'm pretty sad about that. Because you know we did used to have a pretty good time with that, but. Kenny, let's start. I like what John Jablonka asked. So he writes for us. Shout out to John, and the launching pad has really kind of taken the mantle for Nikias in terms of kind of our writing. John asks, at John Jablonka _ on Twitter, says, how could they counter defenses pre-rotating, sending extra help, packing the paint versus Bam rolls? The obvious answer is they don't need to shoot more so they can't help off of it. But what if they still don't respect them? What can they do? I think that's an interesting question. Because I think that's kind of what happened in the Boston series, right? They would send, you know, whoever PJ's man was, whether that was Horford or Robert Williams, and they kind of pre-rotated to kind of contain the Bam roll, and it kind of forced them to play a very perimeter-oriented game. I think for sure, Kenny, that's kind of going to be the question for them until they find a shooter. Schematically, you know, you can try tons of things like putting those guys in more handoff actions, you know, so that you don't have to, it doesn't matter who rotates. Cause when you do dribble handoff stuff, you isolate the play, right? Because it's just you, your screener, and the two men in the action. Cause that's all, like, you know, nobody's going to come from the other side of the court and come interrupt that action. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of what that is. So I think that's kind of the one thing they could do, you know, if they get enough shooting off the move. I don't know how you feel, but I think that's kind of their best bet.
Yeah, that'll help on the perimeter. And I also think, and like John pointed out, we can't really like rely on a shooting, so we can't really say just shoot better and open things up. So I do think we could probably – it'll depend on matchups. A lot of teams do still switch everything, so you could probably have one of the guards cross screen for Bam and kind of get him down there with behind the defense or behind some of the defense, at least kind of ease things for him. And kind of just make them sag off the three-point line even a little more. So then maybe the shoulders have at least a little more of a chance. But there's ways to do it. It just makes things difficult if the shots are not falling. And I've said it. Frankie said it. We don't know if the shot making is going to increase too much to where we can really rely on it. And so it's probably going to be one of those options. Probably like more handoffs on the perimeter, or you're probably going to have to cross screen for Bam and try to get guards on him and just have him attack quick.
I think it's a legitimate like fear that they have this season, and I don't really know. I like genuinely don't know how they can like effectively counter it without just shooting better. Because really the answer is you shoot better. And mm-hmm. because then, you know, at that point, you just make that easy pass to the corner. Yeah. That guy, of course, can cut, you know, but now I think the problem off the cut is it's a difficult pass to make if you're Bam. You know, typically you run the pick and roll up top. I guess you can run more side pick and rolls, and that guy can cut, you know, whoever it gets help off of. So you have more of an angle, because if you're up top and you got to give that straight pass through trees and the defense, I think that's kind of a little difficult. So there's some stuff they can do, but I don't think that you can rely on that. You know,
yeah, it's regardless, it's going to come down to the shooting.
I think so. And it's why, like, we've kind of hammered that they need to find a shooter kind of in at the deadline or for sure in the off season. So Crab Smut Peddler, which is probably my favorite name on Twitter. Crab asks, what defensive improvements have you seen from Tyler Hero this year? Am I wrong to think that he's being targeted less aggressively lately, or will that just pop up in the playoffs? Kenny, I'll let you start, because that's your boy.
Yeah. He has been targeted less this season because it's not just so much that he's competing. He's also holding his own on that end a little more. He's a little stronger. He's a little more. And I understand he has a short arms. He's not quote unquote athletic, but he's making better decisions and kind of controlling the offense a little more, which is, I'm not going to categorize him a great defender. What great defenders do is they kind of control the offense and make the offense do what they want. You kind of see Tyler do that a little more now, kind of shading guys towards the help, recovering quickly when he does get beat. He's not giving up on those plays. He's still getting solid contests. And so now teams, they're not going away from him necessarily, but it's not – the game plan is not always hunt Tyler anymore because of that, because it's just not as easy as it used to be. And it's just kind of – he's a smarter defender now.
I think he's a little bit improved. I do think that most teams just aren't really equipped to kind of do that kind of like hunting. So I do think it'll pop up at the playoffs, and I don't really think that he has like a for sure solution to that. I think that that just kind of is gonna, I mean, he's a small guy. I mean, Derek White got hunted in the playoffs. Yeah. Derek White's a good defender, right? But big wings hunt small players. And it doesn't, you know, and that's why, like, I get so impressed with Lowry, because he doesn't get hunted like that, because he has a lot of weight. You know, part of the thing that people don't like about him is the weight, and he kind of is able to kind of hold his own there. That's why his isolation defensive numbers are so good, even though his point of attack stuff isn't the best. Kind of that aspect of his game helps. And Tyler, you know, doesn't have that weight. So I do think it's going to be a problem in the playoffs, but I think he generally provides enough offense that you just kind of live with it, and he's good. And I don't think, you know, you can sit him just because he's targeted. Steph gets targeted. You know, Kemba got targeted. There's tons of guys. Yeah. Trey gets targeted. It's just life.
Yeah, and there's also just 1,000 counters to mismatch hunting. And so I don't want us to put too much emphasis on
that. I mean, you could do tons of stuff, yeah.
You can double.
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal. But you can double either later or early. You can bring the help earlier. You can switch in there, scram, switch and double. There's a lot of different things you can do to kind of make the mismatch hunting less effective. And so he will get hunted in the playoffs for sure, just because of his sheer size. But I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal as people may think it'll be.
I think it's a valid question to ask. And I think it's, I think they have to answer it at some point if they can. And I think they've mostly survived it. I think you saw in the finals, I mean, LeBron was looking for that guy, but you can kind of load up, you can hedge and recover, as you kind of said, to the point that there's like a lot of solutions. So, I think it's kind of part of the fun chess match that Spo has to go through. So Fezbutter asks, when will Pat wake up? I think that's valid. Do you think he's awake?
He's awake. It's just they have – it's not that easy to make moves. Nobody's really made that – there hasn't been a ton of movement since last season, really. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's the price of draft picks now. We understand KD froze the whole league this offseason, so that explains it. But I think the Heat are going to look for some kind of move. I just don't think it's going to be the moves people want. I don't think moving Lowry makes a ton of sense, because you can get more value out of him this summer. So that probably won't happen at the deadline. I know that may disappoint some people. Title's locked in. Obviously, Bam and Jimmy are untouchable. And so you don't have a ton of options. Max Juice has struggled, so his value, I'm sure, has gone down. Pat is in a tough situation. And they're also a good enough team where they're not desperate to where they just have to do something for the sake of doing something and just kind of risking making things worse. So they will make a move if it's the right move. But they're kind of in a tough spot.
They're a team that loves to make moves. They've always they sometimes can be move happy. I don't think Pat's ever scared of doing something, but I do think that I'm afraid that they'll do something like minor and it's just gonna keep everybody angry. I just don't really think this is a year worth sinking like resources into. I think it's like not. Clearly they overestimated their undrafted guys and they kind of overvalued some cap assets. And the season went sideways because none of those guys have played well. And they didn't get a four. And I think they thought they could survive it until they figured something out. But clearly, like, they couldn't survive it. I mean, I guess they're, like, a good team. Like, you know, they're, like, five or six games over 500 or whatever it is. But, you know, like, they're not where they want to be, right? That's right. A low bar, right? They're held to a standard of champagne and confetti, not, you know, one shot away from the finals, as we've done a lot on this show. So, I don't really think it's worth sinking resources into when I don't think they're close. And I think they should just kind of go at it next year, kind of take the lessons they learn. I know the fan base is going to be mad. I don't think they should attach picks to get rid of any salary. I think that's short-sighted and silly. I think trust, you know, if you're so good at finding these guys, you know, in the G League and undrafted, you know, use those resources to draft a guy this upcoming draft.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I think we're in kind of thing there. Troppy Baby in chat says shuffling deck chairs coming up. And Fesbo says I don't even think they moved Deadman. I think they'll try. I think they'll see if they can like swap him for like another veteran. I don't know. I don't know. They might not be able to find a taker. He's bad.
Yeah, it's just maybe they can send him to San Antonio and then San Antonio waves him or something because they have cap space. But I just don't know how that would benefit them necessarily. Get that extra, what, $10 million or something? I don't know if that's really beneficial to them without attaching a pick. And so the Heat are in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot. I can't fully blame them because, like I said, Kevin Durant froze the offseason. But they did also overvalue those guys, like you said. And so I think that they're just in a tough situation, and I don't really anticipate a big move being made this February.
I would, you know, obviously, like, transactions are fun and stuff, but I think sometimes not doing a move is the right move. And I think this is kind of one of those cases where, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, you know, this obviously, you know, this isn't working, and we shouldn't sink, you know, too much into it. So good question by Fezzy. Kane Finn asks, seems to me the Heat were hesitant in regards to Jimmy's timeline, lack of trade, talent around him, etc. I personally felt it was a disservice to his prime, and we were here floating around 500 with no consistency or identity. Did the Heat do enough for Jimmy? That's really retooling Brian's Pat Riley failed Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, and
before you go, I know where you're going to go with this. I think it's fair to ask, have they done enough? Because while two of the seasons have been great, two of them haven't. And we can try to have nuance on it, but I do think that there's validity to, like, have they done enough?
Yeah, and so there's that side of it, but there's also the side of Jimmy wanted to come here because the Miami Heat win, and he hadn't won. And so I think, look, I understand Jimmy is a very likable star. He's one of the best players to suit up for the Heat, and we want to see him win in Miami. But I also think we're kind of just preaching to the choir with this. The Miami Heat are going to do their best to try to win every season. And Jimmy understands that, and that's why he came here. And so as far as them wasting his prime, I think, like we've said on previous shows, they haven't won a championship, but a finals appearance and a conference finals appearance in within 3 years, that's nothing to really turn our noses up at. It's the furthest Jimmy's ever been. And I would consider that successful. Championship or bust is kind of a strange.
No, it's been successful. Yeah.
It's been successful for sure. And championships, it's just very difficult to win. And I think what happens is we look at Jimmy having these historic performances in the playoffs, and we say the team's not doing enough to get him help. But the reality is both of those runs, he had plenty of help, but the help got injured, and so he had to put on those performances, and that's really just out of the front office control.
I think 21 isn't the organization's fault. I understand right. that they ran it back and everyone's mad at them, but I just didn't see anything on that market, and they mm-hmm. were capped out anyway. And you know, yeah. they were, you know, I just don't think that anything there was worth. And remember, they were trying for Giannis. You know, like, do you mm-hmm. really? And I know that we could say, like, well, they lost to Giannis in the first round and it was embarrassing. I just understand them, you know, having a chance at a superstars free agency and feeling like yeah. we can get him here and we could pair him and Bam for the next fucking 10 years. And yeah. just that's mm-hmm. bro, just think about it. So I can't blame them. I can't blame yeah. them for being greedy.
And I'm glad you reminded me of the Giannis thing, because when we talk about the two underwhelming years, I guess you could say, 21 and this year, 21 was a result of them going after Giannis, and this year was a result of them going after Kevin Durant. And so I don't think Jimmy Butler is looking at either one of those things like the front office didn't try hard enough to bring him any help.
That's what it is.
And so it's not the front office's fault. Jimmy Butler understands that. He just had a quote today saying that he loves it here. Him, Tyler, and Bam are going to win a championship here. And so he's all in. He's been all in the whole time he's been here. And so I just don't think there's a ton to be mad about aside from the result.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I agree. And I'm glad that you brought out that quote, because when I saw him say that, I never thought he'd leave and I never thought he'd ask right. out. But I know that there have been friction between him and Spo or him and the org. And that it felt a little reassuring. And I remember mm-hmm. last season he had a quote that says, yeah, I don't really care about winning titles. Like, I have like other interests. Like, I like coffee and shit. Yeah. And that was right before the playoffs. And I remember we were all mm-hmm. like, oh, fuck, that's not good. You know, like, yeah. you don't want to hear that. Like, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear the dude who's like, you know, if I win, whatever, who cares? Like, right before a playoff run. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But he brought it. I'll never question that dude ever again in my life.
Yeah, and I think that quote, I'm glad you reminded me of that too. I think that quote kind of reassures us even more that his run with the Heat has been fine. And by the way, because that may be a new quote to some people, he wasn't saying he doesn't care about winning. He was just saying he has other interests and he just can't.
It wasn't the end-all be-all for him.
Yeah, it wasn't the end-all be-all for him. And with it not being an end-all be-all for him, a finals appearance and a conference finals appearance in 3 years, I would assume he's fine with that.
Correctly, I was like, so Jimmy didn't mention Kyle. Well, Kyle's contract expires like next year. And I think we all know that this journey's ending next year or sooner. Yeah. I don't think, you know, even myself, who is the Kyle Lowry apologist, even I don't even think that this extends past that. So unless they win a title or something and something changes and he's beloved. But I feel like, I mean, I do know Kyle likes it in Miami. Probably doesn't. I mean, him and the org, I haven't heard that they're on bad terms, but you know, it's just a normal player organizational relationship pretty much now. And he likes it here, but probably, you know, he'll probably end up living here. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, make stops here and decide,
Lot of players who never played for the Heat live in Miami.
Huh?
Most players who never played for the Heat live in Miami.
Well, like Ray Allen never lived here and played here. Now he's the coach at Gulliver. You know,
well, he definitely played here.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like guys that play here, and they stay. You know, Dwayne's one of the exceptions. He went to LA for his movie star with his movie star girlfriend, but yeah. So you know, we'll see on that. Vane Hype asks, shout out to Vane Hype, one of the OGs of our show and really our streaming era. Mm-hmm. We've really gone through, he's gone through a lot of eras. It's really been we've really retooled and innovated our operation so many times. It's kind of fun to think back on. But Vane Hype asks, with Jimmy's window closing, what's the no questions asked trade to make before the deadline to move the needle to a championship contender in the league of ebbing and flowing in the standings? I think if I'm getting Vane Hype's question right, it's like, what's the trade that like actually changes your life into being a contender? Because we've only talked about like small moves.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a specific player. I know John Collins' name is floating around again. He's not that guy. It's going to have to be somebody who can play at least backup 4 and 5 and can defend and can shoot a little bit, like 36% from 3 is fine. I don't think their size necessarily matters in this case. I just think they have to be productive in that position because that's where this team lacks, especially as we're going to see moving on with Orlando Robinson being out.
They, you know, like Bogdanović is like probably going to be the darling of the deadline. And I don't think that he changes your life. I wonder if they can get Bogdanović and like Covington. That still doesn't move me. I don't know.
Right. And so the thing we do have to kind of keep in mind too, because we understand that they need shooting, right? But with Bogdanović, he's a fine defender who can hold his own. But I think if you're going to go after shooting, you're going to have to also need defense or also need something else because shooting is very up and down no matter how great of a shooter you are. And so you don't want to make a move just to get a shooter and then he ends up just being in a slump in May and then it's just kind of pointless.
So they're going to have to
just go ahead and try to find someone at least sort of multifaceted. I like Bogdanović. If it happens, I'm not mad at it. But I do think he may cost too much for them anyway.
I think so too. And if you're giving up 2 picks for him, which is what Detroit's asking for. I like Just Jared said, OG is the darling of the trade deadline, which kind of brings me to my point of like, that's the guy that changes your life.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get moved. A lot of people, I think Masai is serious in 3 picks and a guy. I don't think he lowers that asking price until the offseason. I think for sure at the deadline, that's what he's going to ask for. And whether that's right or wrong of him, I just think that that's what he's going to do. And I don't really think anyone's going to do it. I think New York might get close to doing it, but I don't think they'll part with Quickly, which I think is going to be, it's going to be like 3 picks and Quickly, and they love Quickly.
They should.
And I think that that's the line for them. I think that Quickly is going to be the line for them. And I think Toronto is going to be like, I'll see you in June, you know, or July or whatever. Right. So I don't think he gets moved. If you're Miami, man, if you can free up the pick, and I don't even know what you give with the 3 picks, but I make it happen.
That's when it gets complicated because Toronto is not working up there because they're in desperate need for a point guard and a big, and those are also the Heat's weak positions, you can say, obviously outside of Bam. And so it's very tough for the Heat to make that work. So I'm just not sure if I believe it'll happen. Now, In a perfect world, hell yeah, bring OG on. But I just also don't think it's really going to – I don't know if we have what Toronto needs or wants from him.
Crab and Chat says, if he really think OG is the guy, do you think that they'll have any reservation about giving up all three picks? It's about the living, breathing player. And MRNN just brought up my point in chat. He's always hurt. Yeah. And that's kind of why I'm like, in theory – but he's a guy that's injured a ton. Every season he has something. And with Jimmy always, I think you need a durable dude. I don't know. Yeah. I make the move for him. I don't think that they can get in that game. I just don't think they have enough to get in that game. But I would fucking love him because he and Bam would have dudes in hell, bro. I do 100%. Think that he doesn't fix your offense. And I do think that you need – at that point, I think it simplifies what you need. I'm going to say something that I haven't really talked about a lot. I'm not a big Victor Oladipo fan this season. I think he's been good for them this season. I just don't really like the fit because he doesn't help your offense at all. He can't shoot, and he's like a good playmaker. He's like a sneaky good pick-and-roll player, like a pick-and-roll passer. He just doesn't shoot, and he doesn't get enough free throws. And it's like I think he's a good player, but I think the lack of shooting is really just like not – that's a deal breaker for me with this team. So, and he doesn't like really have a history of like being a good shooter. So I don't want them to keep him this off season. Like I think that they should look into moving him because I don't think that he will be in their price range. And I don't think that he is a guy that fits with Bam and Jimmy as also two non-shooters. And I think his shot selection's a little everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, OG, you know, OG's a guy that, like, you know, it's like kind of adding a guy who's like a good shooter but kind of shaky lately. Doesn't give you too much on offense but helps you a ton on defense. That's what I'm saying is that acquiring OG makes it pretty easy. You're just like, I need a scoring guard who can play make. Because at that point, now you have everything else kind of settled and you just need a real scoring guard who can play some defense and play make. As your point guard, have Tyler with OG, Bam, Jimmy, and I think you have like a legit real good team.
Yeah. And so, and I don't necessarily think he's ready for this, but if they're able to find more of a shooting guard and just kind of have Tyler play more point guard, quote unquote, officially, with him being already having so much playmaking responsibility, do you think that kind of works?
If what?
If they bring in a different type of guard and just have Tyler more at point guard officially instead of just shooting guard with the playmaking, do you think that kind of works?
I don't really want Tyler in that role because I've seen guys – I think, like, Harden can be put in that role because Harden's, like, a very special kind of player. I think it's a mistake putting these kind of two guards into point guard roles. I think you should be careful about that. And I think having Tyler in the right role is important for his development. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't mess with that. I know that like Bond and Tiff have talked about like they're like an offense that doesn't need like a real like traditional point guard, and I agree, but I think that entails Jimmy doing more handling, not Tyler doing more handling. I think Tyler does the right amount of handling, and I don't think that should increase because I do think that we'll start seeing things like poor shots and turnovers. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I just kind of wanted to see what you thought.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think that's the target I want, but I don't think that they can. And that's part of the reason why I haven't like really talked about it on the pod. I just don't really like, and I guess part of my style lately is like, you know, I'm not like interested in talking about things that I just don't think are going to happen. Like, you know, I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that they can get in. I don't think that Toronto is going to make that deal. And I just think that they could just so easily get outbid. Just also like why we haven't talked a ton of trades. Because it's like, I want Bogdanovich, but I'm like, they're asking for two firsts. And like, Miami just can't offer that. And like, they can get outbid because if somebody gives two firsts, like, their first is going to be better than Miami's first, probably. Mm-hmm. And they can give like a second or like other things that we just don't have. And kind of you look at that and they've really kind of emptied their trove of assets because there's truly been like inflation on what guys cost. And and now they just, you know, it's almost like draft picks went through a period where they were so valued. Do you remember, Kenny? They were like the most valuable fucking thing. Like a first round pick was like, that was a lot. And like probably like from 2015 to like 2020. And now like you need two first round picks to get like a rotational starter player. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm old enough to remember when like two first round picks got you a star. Those days are gone. Like it was a conversation, like two first round picks and like a young player gets you a star. And now like two for Bogdanovich and three for Ananobi. Ananobi is like not a star, but like a good player, a good young player, you know,
good young player who's still like obviously and clearly growing. He's not quite there just yet. Even still, he also has injury stuff. And so, yeah, it's a tough asking price, but it is the asking price. Maybe it's the Rudy Gobert trade's fault. Maybe it's just because Victor Wembanyama's in the draft this year. I don't know. But I just think now we say all that to say the Heat don't really have enough to make that move or really any big move for a significant player this month.
I like what Rance Provera said. He says, we saw the Mitchell cost. Unrestricted free agency is a dead end. If we want to be a player for a stud, we need to have 4 to 5 first ready to move. And that's true because fewer players are opting to enter free agency. They're just signing their extensions and then asking to get moved. And that's just been the trend, either for a sign and trade or, you know, they just ask out in the middle of a deal. Miami got lucky with Butler because, you know, because in reality, like, you know, they had to move heaven and earth to fit him under their cap. And Philly, you know, got something they wanted out of it. But in reality, you know, that gets ugly nowadays. You know, guys aren't, when was the last time a big free agent name just changed? You know, was it Kevin Durant?
I think so.
Is Kevin Durant the last guy who just like outright just signed somewhere? Like a star? Mm-hmm. Chris Paul, I guess. I don't think Chris Paul's like of that magnitude, but I guess he changed the fortunes of a franchise. So is Chris Paul, or did he get traded? No, he got traded.
Yeah, he did get traded.
See if he got traded. So is it Chat, can you help me out here? Is Durant the last star to leave his team via free agency? Because, you know, Giannis was the next guy who like was gonna have the meetings and everything, but then he just re-signed with his team. You know, Beal never got moved. Chat goes Deadman. You know, Jimmy came via a sign and trade, you know, off of a bad playoff run. Kawhi went to Toronto in a trade. I guess Kawhi to the Clippers. Kawhi to the Clippers, I guess Kawhi to the Clippers as going through. But I mean, you have to go like pretty back.
Yeah. And that's
get out of here with Brunson, chat. Fuck off.
And that's not going to change anytime soon either, because players' original teams can offer so much money. It would just not make any sense for them to just leave that money on the table. You secure the money and then you get traded.
Yes, exactly. You secure the bag and the extension with the home raises and stuff like that. Okay, yeah, Zach's right. Durant and Kyrie, they're the last ones.
Yeah.
They're the last ones. And Kyrie came from...
And that was what, 2019, 2020?
Yeah. So, you know, around the time of Kawhi and everything. So, yeah, that's really it. So, like... That's right. Unrestricted free agency is not what it used to be. You know, Collins obviously on the table for them. I think he changes their life, but not significantly. And I think Crowder the same. Although, I think teams are too out on Jay Crowder. I think teams are like, I wouldn't give anything for Jay Crowder. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I saw what Iguodala looked after not playing for half a year. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'll welcome Crowder back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think, and I'm just, and you know, I've been like the Caleb Martin guy since the summer, really. I think he, and we saw yesterday, he can hold his own in the role he's in. So I do think bringing Jay Crowder back, would it make them a better team? I just don't. Well, for one, we haven't seen him play in a long time, so we don't know what version of Jay Crowder we're going to get because he's been pretty inconsistent throughout his career. But they won't be asking him for too much if he does come here. So I welcome Jay back completely. It just depends on what they have to give up
for him. I would straight up give Depot for him. That's the
most I think idea. So too.
That's the most
I think idea. So too.
Now, Bond and Tiff would fucking kill me for saying that. They'd fucking murder me. And maybe wrong. Maybe I'm undervaluing what Depot gives them. I would do Caleb in a second as well. Caleb in a second would be my preferred. Yeah, chat's saying killer and chat's like, no way. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I haven't thought about this take. This take is in its infancy. Give me a second.
I think the most I'd do is Oladipo.
I would do Oladipo because you're not keeping him. No, but
you're not going to
keep Crowder either. So it's like.
Yeah, but I don't know. I do like what Oladipo's brought to the team. He's in a rough stretch right now, but I'm not going to just judge his whole season based on that. But I do think that as far as if you take Oladipo out and put Jay Crowder in, it kind of simplifies things for the offense and kind of hopefully makes them a little better. You don't have four or five guys to choose from as far as playmaking goes. You have one less thing to worry about, and you have one more guy who can not shoot 45% from three, but knock a three-pointer down here and there. And I think that's kind of something I wouldn't call Jay Crowder a better player than Victor Oladipo at this stage of their career. More of a fit. Yeah, more of a fit.
So, I'd only do it if you told me that they're moving Deadman and Duncan for another guy. Then I think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, if you trade for Crowder, because Crowder could play some backup five, and he did in the bubble. I think that if you do move, like, I don't know, Caleb in a second or, like, you know, Oladipo for him, although I don't really see what Oladipo does for Phoenix.
Right.
And Zach's asking who's going to defend guards if you lose Depot. I mean, yeah, I guess that's true because if you trade both Caleb and Oladipo, like, who are you guarding guards with? Because, like, even Lowry doesn't guard the fast guys.
Yeah, no, I'm keeping – in any scenario, I'm keeping Caleb. I think his impact kind of goes under the radar. I'm keeping Caleb no matter what.
I'm glad – oh, Scrabs like Crowder and Torrey Craig for Depot plus whatever. That – now we're talking, baby.
I can get into that.
Now we're talking. You bring me Crowder and Torrey Craig. I don't think they do that. Doesn't Torrey Craig start for them?
I have no idea. I haven't watched Phoenix in like 2 weeks.
So I don't know. But I have to think about this. I'm going to consult. I'm going to consult the group chat after this and see what they say. I don't think Duncan. You think Duncan gets moved? This is my question. Do you think Duncan gets moved this offseason?
No.
I should say
definitely not the deadline. I don't think he's shown enough for teams to want to take on the contract, and the contract is still too far away from expiring for teams to want to really take it on.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
if somebody asks for him and if they're offering like kind of like a shit platter, I don't do it because I think selling low on Duncan's stupid. I think you wait for him to play better.
Yeah, and he's actually been fine this year. I haven't looked at the numbers.
No, he sucks.
But...
I'm sorry. Oh, he does? I don't. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, lie. I haven't looked at the numbers. Listen, I haven't looked at the numbers.
I've been accused of being toxically positive about this team, which I don't really think so because I've just kept saying they're like a second round out at best. I'm not gonna let anybody on God's green earth say like Duncan's been good. I love Duncan.
I don't know if he's been good, but again, I haven't looked at the numbers, so I don't know exactly.
Dog, he's shooting. Let me see. 33% from three. That's like his only job.
Oh yeah, that's pretty.
That's
rough.
Fucking bad, bro.
For the type of player he is, yeah, that's kind
for
of
for anybody, dude. Like, is Jimmy shooting better than that? Jimmy is shooting 30%. Ouch.
Oh yeah, is it over the team shooting?
They fucking suck, bro.
Yeah, but now that you do bring it up,
Max,
I think
34. Caleb, yeah, and... the lone star, 38%. The shining star, Caleb Martin.
Yeah, I think that's just. How do you feel about Max though? Because I don't think they're gonna bring him back next season.
Who wants Max, bro?
Somebody
will
want
Max.
What are you
gonna trade Max for?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Second round pick, I guess, right? Like,
I don't know. We'll see. But I think what the conclusion we've kind of had and we're coming back around to is that he just don't have a ton of options right now. Things start to get brighter for them as far as transactions go in the offseason, but right now there's just not too many places to turn for one.
Chat saying trade Max for what, bro? Who wants that guy other than Tiff?
That will work out in the Heat's favor, but I don't know if it's like the other team probably wouldn't benefit from that.
I don't know, bro. Like, you give it, like, do you trade him, Chap, for a second? Like, is that really? I don't think I'd do that. I would not trade Jimmy's friend for a second round pick.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen.
If he walks, like, that's fine. Like, yeah. if I just don't see a robust market for him. And I guess, people could say, like, well, you know, Rui Hachimura sucks and he went for, like, you know, 2 seconds or 3 seconds and Kendrick Nunn. That guy was drafted 8th overall, and, like, any team is like, I can make this high prospect, like, work. Like, you think you get him under your system. Max, nobody wanted Max. Yeah, now they want him after he was here.
And I think teams have probably caught on to how players play after they leave the Heat also. It's never great. So with Max performing the way he is this season, I don't know if he's really helping a team.
Killers, like, in chat, I think people around the league would like Max. 34% from three, minus 2.4 EPM, 54 true shooting percentage, which is the 29th percentile. He's shooting 60% at the rim, which is bottom 36% of all players. He's shooting good free throws. He doesn't turn the ball over, so that's good. Just not 38% from mid range. Just nothing there, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be very rough for the Heat to make a move this month. I'm gonna say that.
Fez Butter goes, what the fuck is EPM? It's called estimated plus minus. It is one of the best impact numbers developed by Dunks and Threes. It's a basketball analytics site. It's really, really good. It was voted like one of the best stats by GMs last year, I believe. So really good site. Fez is like, is this like setting a radio? Is this like setting up on radio? So I like moving off of those guys, I don't really see what's going on there. So yeah,
it's gonna be a rough trade deal after the Heat.
Fezbutter asked, what's Max's PDQ? His PDQ is actually negative this season. It's negative two, and if you remember, the lower PDQ is, the better the number is. So kind of weird that PDQ kind of stands away from everything else. I don't remember where PDQ ranked in the GM survey, but it's a set that we've always liked. I'm not sure what to make of that because all the other metrics don't really like him. But that's a question for another day. Kenny, I believe we've answered the people's questions. We talked trades, which is what most people wanted to know on this lovely 1st of February. That's really what gets the people going. Trade deadline coming up. We'll give you more coverage on that tomorrow, pre-gaming. We got a pregame show waiting for you ahead of Heat Knicks. Heat win there, 3 games up from the play-in. That's a huge, huge thing. And they'd be 1 game back at Cleveland for number 5 with Brooklyn in free fall sitting at number 4. So a run at a top 4 seed, not looking so crazy. Miami can get a little lucky.
And the Cavs have been struggling.
So you won a game in Cleveland. You need that because eventually you're going to have to win the tiebreaker over them if you tie. So that was a big step. Doing it on the road, I think the remaining games you have at home. So you split the road series with Cleveland this year. I think that's enormous. So what do I have to answer the question? What's this K/D ratio? I don't know. What is that? What are you talking about? Everybody's making up stats.
That's a Call of Duty thing.
What's D2F percent? Stop making up stats. Okay. I did EPM and PDQ. Oh, is that a Call of Duty stat?
Yeah, kill death ratio.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I know melee stats. We have like opening per kill. That is like the big melee stat, like openings per kill. I don't know. Yeah, FPS stat. I'm a nerd, but I'm not that kind of nerd. I'm like a fighting game nerd or an anime nerd. I'm not a Call of Duty or CS2 or. I didn't even know people were still playing Counter-Strike. I was amazed. I was like, that's one of the biggest esports in the world. Made me feel.
No, I don't know what it is.
Counter-Strike? You know Counter-Strike.
I'm not a gamer like that. I play 2K and that's it.
Chat's asking about Myers. You want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay, that was the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, bro. That guy literally said, what I went through after I said an anti-Semitic slur, I would have rather been dead. He says this while sitting in a mansion, Kenny. He said this while sitting in a mansion.
I think with Myers,
he said he'd rather be dead. This man said that while crying in front of Jeremy Schapp in a mansion. In, I believe, L.A. or Miami. That's fucking crazy. And Carleon is right. He meant it.
Yeah.
And crying.
Yeah. And so, for one, because I'll watch some of it, as much of it I watched the whole
Twitter video, the 6 minutes that they put on Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't get through that whole thing. It's just because I think, for one, he said he didn't know what it meant, but that's not a word people know. And so it's not like...
How do you not know what that means?
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't know what it meant, but...
Would you say shit you don't know what it means?
That's one thing, but two, I didn't know what it meant, and he... I didn't know what it meant because it's not a word just flying around like that. I had never heard that word in my life until he said it. And so I never heard it in my life.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so as far as him not knowing what it meant, I don't believe that. Were you with us
when that happened? Is that your first season?
I think I was. I think we might have talked about it, but I might have been brand new here.
That's crazy. I mean, South Florida has a huge Jewish population, so.
Yeah, but I'm not from that
part. Yeah, you're from. Yeah. Well, neither am I. I grew up in Kendall. Like, I didn't meet a Jewish person until I was in college. Like, every fucking person in Kendall was like some fucking Colombian straight out of Bogota or whatever, or Medellin.
Yeah. You know, I had never heard that word before, so it's not a word that's just flying around like being used loosely. And so, for one, I didn't buy that he didn't know what it meant, and then two. I just don't like when people do something clearly wrong and they try to like get on camera and like
be the victim.
Say, hey, I'm a great guy now, take me back. And I think for me, and I did see some people saying he seems genuine, whatever it is. I don't know about that.
But I believe he's genuinely sorry, and I believe that he genuinely put the work and has helped Jewish communities in the way that I believe Tim Hardaway like genuinely felt remorse. And like, that's not my place to say whether that apology is good enough or not, but I do feel he's genuine. Like, I do feel like he's sorry, whether that matters or not. I don't know. And I want to be clear, Kenny. And I don't know if you agree with me. I don't think he's just sorry that he lost his career. I think he's like genuinely sorry that he did that.
Yeah, I believe so. But
I do think he's a shitty person, but I do think he's sorry.
Also, to what you said, I think he it's not our place to like say that him being genuinely sorry is enough. And also, he's a repeat offender. he had a thing in the bubble with not kneeling. Yeah. Also, yeah. So I think
I'm not gonna lie, Kenny.
Yeah,
that was so fucked up, and I think it was UD the one that had his arm wrapped around him the whole time. Which I was uncomfortable with that too. UD, who fucking peddles Republican politics all over the city, who are fucking crushing us, like, you know, crushing, you know, communities of color and poor communities. Yeah. As this guy fucking is BFFs with Francis, whatever the fuck is Francis Suarez, whatever the fuck his name is, and all these shithead Republican politicians. So I didn't like that either.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't surprise me. I think a lot of older inner city black dudes in Miami and really the South in general, they have a lot of views that'll like make you scratch your head a little bit. And so the UD thing didn't surprise me. And honestly, Myers not kneeling, honestly, that didn't surprise me enough to bother me either. I think you add his response to it kind of being like, hey, well, you're calling me racist and I live a better life than you and whatever, whatever. That clip that Brian showed us.
Yeah.
Is that, and then he did the anti-Semitic slur. So then it's like, all right, well, it's no. And then on top of all that, he just wasn't a good enough player to get away with
that's
all that
strike
shit.
Strike two, baby.
Yeah. And
Anthony Edwards, you know, said a horrible homophobic slur and, you know, all-star consideration for him. You know,
Kyrie Irving,
yeah, that's the other big one. I saw that Chef Trilly tweeted. He's like, "When is this dude gonna learn that he's out of the league because he sucks?"
That's part of it too. Yeah, and even if he wasn't that bad of a player, there's no real room for a player like him in the league anyway. Like the seven, and also like he had 7 years before he was decent in Miami where he didn't do anything. And so it's I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
just, I don't. It was a weird. Yeah. I just felt it was you know what it reminded me of? This is gonna be so inside of like another part, but like there's a huge controversy in like the Twitch streamiverse where Atrioc, this huge streamer, have you heard about this controversy? So this guy Atrioc was alt tabbing his Google Chrome tabs on stream, and it was revealed through sifting through his tabs he had been watching AI porn. I believe the kids call it deep fake porn.
I think I did see something like that. He was watching another Twitch streamer, right?
Yeah, it was like porn of like another of an AI deep fake of like other Twitch streamers. So Atrioc gets on, you know, his stream, brings his wife on, and is doing this like crying apology, which is like the, you know, it was just the weirdest thing. And it's all I could think about watching Myers fucking cry to Jeremy Shop. I was like, this motherfucker's Atrioc 2.0. He's anti-Semitic Atrioc. I'm like, this is like back to back, bro. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's just I couldn't get through that video. It just I don't know. I don't.
Alex in chat is like, good job explaining this. I felt that I explained that well.
You know, because I saw stuff of it, but it's just certain. I stay away from certain topics. Because the way I approach basketball, same way I approach everything. I don't want to like look at a bunch of shit that's gonna make me mad. And so like, I didn't want to see.
I love that man.
You know, I try to stay away from it. Well, I didn't want to see.
He's in the Melee community too, so that was one of ours. I was like, "Fuck, man, we took a hit."
Yeah, I didn't want to see a bunch of people like defending like deepfake porn.
Dog,
like,
that was so weird, bro. All these insults.
Yeah,
I
didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see that.
Are you crazy? People are fucking.
I didn't want to see that.
People are insane online, bro. The AI stuff's weird, bro. Like the whole trend of, not to get so off topic. Listen, this is classic Heapy. Heapy's been about going off topic. This fucking AI art thing, you know, like how that works. They like, they get from a database of like art that's made, and they just steal art to create this AI art. So artists are justifiably like, hey, this fucking sucks. And everyone's like, AI selfie, you know, with the fucking filter. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That is so fucking fucked up and bad. And none of these people know that that's wrong, and they don't care. But it's just, it's fucking insane, bro.
Yeah, it's. I didn't do that little trend. I didn't do. I just don't care to see myself look majestic anyway. But it was just kind of it felt wrong.
It felt wrong. While I answer one more question, somebody in chat asked me. Hold on, I gotta scroll up. Somebody asked me, what I thought of Chainsaw Man. Which is an anime that I did not care for. It's one of the most popular things out there. And I did not care for Chainsaw. I read the manga. I did not care for it. I did think the anime was an improvement. But there you go. Giancarlo Navas does not care for Chainsaw Man. I think Denji's kind of an incel, and I don't like him. So there you go. That's kind of where I am with that. So we talked a lot of things today. We talked trade deadline. We talked about the Heat center rotation. We talked about OG Anunoby. We talked about Myers Leonard's cheerful apology. We talked about anime. We talked about Atrioc. What a well-rounded show.
Yeah, I
was like, nobody asked you that. I just scrolled up. It was Poulter. I just saw it. God damn it. I just looked at it, but I was like, it's too late to mention the name of the person. It was like Poulter whatever. That person in chat. I'm not good at reading names, so leave me alone. But yeah. So you know, we kind of stumbled to the end. Pulsar Ghost. We stumbled to the end. We'll see you tomorrow. Listen, we're approaching episode 450. We're getting close to 500 episodes. 10-year anniversary. You know, we're out here, Miami Heat beat. So see y'all tomorrow, and you know, let's go Heat.
Yep.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.